And, oh man, I'll tell you, I miss Brother Jared Gard because he talked about having happy feet. Now, I think about what the Lord does. Give me happy feet, amen. Make me want to just dance to the Lord like David did. Of course, David could probably dance, so I'm not going to try it, but David could probably sing, amen. Well, I don't know what my gift is, but it ain't those two, amen. Got the gift of the junkyard ministry now. I told my wife, I said, I'd drive all the way back over and spend $30 in gas just to hand out tracts, amen. Just a good time. And praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 8, you know, we think about Romans chapter number 8, everybody thinks, Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. And we'll quote that, we'll misquote that, we'll understand that sometimes, misunderstand that sometimes. Doesn't say everything's good, everything's pleasant, everything's comfortable. It says everything works together for good because there are pieces of the puzzle in life that the devil gets in. Amen. You ever be putting a puzzle together? And I don't even fool with that stuff anymore because it's boring. Amen. And I'm not, you know, I look at that thing, it ought to fit here, it ought to fit. It don't fit where I think it ought to fit. That's kind of like life. It doesn't fit together the way I think it ought to fit together all the time. You ever get a puzzle, you putting that thing together, and you found out somebody stuck a piece in there out of another puzzle, and you're trying to figure out how to get that in there to get another piece in next to it? That's what the devil does. I mean, God's putting this stuff together, and the devil slides this piece in there, and he goes, and that piece hurts. That piece is confusing. That piece will mess you up sometimes. And God says, don't worry about it. I'll make it fit. Y'all looking at me funny like you've tried to make things fit. You ever got an X-Acto knife, tried to make the puzzle fit? You got to get this thing done, right? God just makes it fit. And even though something happened that seems bad to you and I, and we go through things that are horrible, we do. We are injured people. We're injured people. We are scarred vessels, and the Lord's going to fix it one day. Any preacher that's ever preached that once you're saved, everything's going to be a bed of roses was nothing but a liar. Amen. Life's tough. But we lean on the everlasting arms. We've got Jesus Christ. I wouldn't make it without church. I wouldn't. I wouldn't make it without my church family. Wouldn't make it without the prayers of the saints. Wouldn't make it without a Bible. Wouldn't make it without the ability to pray myself. And everyone in here could raise their hand and honestly say, and I'll be real honest with you, sometimes I don't read the Bible enough. Sometimes I don't pray enough. And when I don't, I've probably got people praying for me more than I ever deserve. And we could all say that. Because we're all in this flesh, we're all running around this world with this opposition, which is us, and the devil throwing them pieces in the puzzle that don't necessarily fit. And God says, it doesn't matter. When this is done, it's going to be exactly what I intended it to be. Amen? So Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that's a good verse. That's not something you can quote to somebody that's going through one of the most horrific things they've ever been through in their entire life and expect them to get joy out of it. Matter of fact, sometimes it hurts. It's not what it's for. It's not what it's about. What it's really about is everything glorifies God in the end. Amen? The devil is not going to get the glory. He's not. And I know people that are trying to glorify Him now. He's not going to get the glory. We talked about this in Sunday school. In Revelation, at the end of Revelation, you got the battle of Gog and Magog where the devil's loosed for a season after that 1,000-year bondage. He gets the whole world together against Jerusalem and against God. And he says, you know what? I am going to take this. It's mine. I'm going to glorify me. And Jesus Christ calls fire down from heaven and he's devoured. The devil is not going to get the glory in the end. God is. So what works together for good, God is good. It works together for God. Everything is going to be just the way God says in the end. Amen? That's encouraging because He told me if I called on Him, realizing I was a sinner, trusting Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I was going to heaven. And the devil, he throws all kinds of weird pieces in the middle of that, but at the end, I'm still going to be in heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are some things the devil can't stop. Amen? And like I say, he don't make us do anything. The Holy Spirit's got a vote. The devil's got a vote. And you're the determining vote. The swing vote is yours. It's mine. Which way we go when we come to that crossroads, that fork in the road, that why or whatever you want to call it. It's up to us. But in Romans chapter number 8, beginning in verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Boy, isn't that good stuff? Nothing is able to separate us from God. It doesn't matter what Trump does, what Biden does, what Pelosi does, what Ted Cruz does, what our governor does, what anybody does, and as far as man speaking, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That Bible says we are in the Father's hand and no man can pluck us out. Amen? Praise God. Hey, I'm noticing some things almost on a daily basis anymore. I got pieces and parts I didn't even know I had. I knew they're in the book, you know, but I didn't know that I had them. But now they're hurting. Now I know I've got them. Amen? Leg pains, knee pains, ankle pains, hip pains. My wife says she had a pain and it's me. Amen? But all these pains, I start having more pains. You know what I noticed about pain? It hurts. And it lasts longer. And men, sometimes we do silly stuff and hurt ourselves, right? Amen? Amen. And it takes longer to heal up. Amen? But no matter what, I'm in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. I can't even pluck myself out. Not that I'd want to. Man, we've got some things to look forward to, some things to anchor to right now, that hope. And, you know, it talks about that hope, for we are saved by hope. Jesus Christ is the blessed hope. He saved our soul. It talks about hope which is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that we see not, we're looking for the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for that. As we go back down through some of these verses, I want to talk about a few things yet this morning. And the first thing I want to see is in verse 18 through 20. Let's read 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Talking about the suffering, the things we go through. And you know, we oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll give the devil the credit for almost everything that's bad, and he deserves a lot of that credit. And you know, man's sin is what brought the curse on this place. I understand that. And the devil, he got in there and he messed with Eve. And he got her to go against God. And Adam went against God. And this place is a sin-cursed place because of Adam and Eve. And because Adam decided to go against the Word of God. And that's the same thing with life sometimes. When you go against the Word of God, your life can become a mess. Amen. You know what most saved folks have? A lot of saved folks have messes of lives because they're not living for the Word of God. They're not living by the Bible. They're not praying. They're not studying. They're not reading it. All they're doing is going through sufferings. Some of that self-induced suffering we don't have to go through, amen? If we just do it God's way, we talked about that earlier, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If we would present ourselves to the Lord every single day and say, Lord, use me, and if you take me through something, walk with me, comfort me, be that light in the dark places, be that, let me see, let me focus on you, the lily of the valley when I'm going through that tough time. Lord, just bring me through, use me for your honor and your glory. Strengthen me to make it through today. Amen? But there's some sufferings that go on in this world. And it's because of sin. And then in 21 through 25, you go down through here and it's talking about the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, verse 21, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're looking at the Savior, the salvation. You see, this world, this whole place is cursed. You and I, we go through things, we suffer loss, we bury loved ones, we go through heartaches and heartbreaks, and we go through and groan and travail in our soul. Something hurts us so deeply. Some things hurt us so terribly that we can't even put words to it. And that's the whole creation groans because of the sin debt. The whole creation groans because of the curse on this place. And you know, hell, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? You've heard that before. All these folks out there, they've got good intentions. They're gonna save this. They're going to save that. They're going to hug the trees. They're going to do all that. And I'm for taking care of things that God allows us to have. You know, and they're going to get the population under control. Whatever they want to do, they're going to do what they want to do. And they've got good intentions in their mind. They think they're doing what God's called them to do, or if there is a God. And of course, most of them are their own God. But they're going to do good things so when they leave, they can leave a legacy of being good people. And the truth is, most of them are wicked as the devil. They don't know Jesus Christ. They have no idea what the Bible says. They're going the wrong direction. They're going to get on to you about your air conditioner, get on you about your lawnmower and driving your car. Of course, the hypocrisy of them flying around their jets and you know, driving around their Suburbans and all that stuff with their armed guards, but they tell you and I we shouldn't have guns and all that stuff. The hypocrisy is obvious, but the problem is they don't know God. And the Savior is Jesus Christ. It's not carbon control. It's not emissions control. It's not population control. And for saved people, it ought to be sin control. Control yourself, self-control. That's one thing this world's lacking. They're trying to control everything, but nobody has any self-control. Something goes their way, they want to rub it in your face. Something goes against them, they want to burn something down. They have no self-control. We got a bunch of people that are in grown-up bodies that are acting like 3 or 4 year olds that never had been told no. I believe that's because they've never been told no. You ever been told no? God tells me no all the time. Never told you no? He didn't tell me no when I called on him for salvation, praise God. But he's told me no several times. Nope, that ain't going this way, it's going that way. No. We don't run out and burn stuff down. You got to have some self-control. The suffering, the Savior. We talked about this before. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, He took the sin of this world, not just the people of the world. He took the sin, the curse of this earth. That crown of thorns represents that thorns and thistles that Adam was cursed with because of his sin. And you read in Revelation, we just read in our study, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? Because this one's messed up. Irreparably damaged. And heaven has had sin in it because of the devil. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to make all things new. Isn't that something? Hey, we're going through some things here. And sometimes it seems like we're going through a lot. Sometimes it's like more than we can handle. But it's never more than He can handle. The sufferings, the Savior. 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray, for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, see, that's not speaking in tongues. I know some of the folks use that for speaking in tongues, but that is not a speaking in tongues verse. It's a groanings that can't be uttered. In other words, you can't even say what the Holy Spirit's saying. What the Holy Spirit on your behalf is going to God the Father, and you look down through here in this thing, and it says that Jesus Christ in verse 34 is making intercession for you. How could that be? Because He is the Holy Spirit, and He is God the Father, because He is God. He is our intercessor. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But that Holy Spirit is going to God the Father and praying what you should be praying from your heart for you. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf. You know what He's praying? He's praying. He's not praying for you to have a new car, a new house, a rosy day where you never have any aches or pains or problems. He's praying for you to be in the will of God. And He's praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's probably praying that, amen? But He's praying for you. Isn't that something? I mean, I thank God. Hey, I look around here and see people I love, the people that pray for me. I'm sure that anybody in here, if you were mad at me, you'd still pray for me. Amen? And we pray for each other. Amen? Somebody laughing too hard over here. I don't know about that. And I enjoy the comfort of knowing I got people praying for me. And we can pray for other people. God is praying for me. And He's praying for you. Isn't that something? See, the devil says, I can fix all this. I can mess it all up. God will never have His way. I can make it so this person can't even pray right. You ever been there? So messed up, so hurt, you can't even pray right. You get down on your knees, feel guilty for being there because you don't have anything right in your heart. Your mind's all over the place. The devil's putting stuff in there you wish had never been in there, bringing stuff back you wish never got in there to start with. And God says, that's all right because I'm praying for you. The devil can't stop God's prayers. He won't let him. Amen. Amen. The suffering, the Savior, the Spirit of God is praying for us according to the will of God. Isn't that something? You ever prayed, Lord, I'm done. I can't deal with this issue anymore. I can't do it. I need to get past this. On to something else. This is wearing me out. So Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And the Holy Spirit said, your will be done, your will be done, your will be done. And God says, I'm going to take you through it a little bit more. You're broken, but you're not completely broken. And you get to the point where you're completely broken. And you call out to God, and you're not asking Him to remove the circumstances. You're asking Him to change you to get through the circumstances, to survive the circumstances. And He says, I'll do that. Amen? The Spirit's praying in the will of God for you. Verse 28 through 30, it says, we'll read 28 and we'll see how far we go down through them. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many among many brethren. We see the saved. You know what's talking about the saved people here? What's He saying? We talked about this a little bit earlier. Everything that happens in your life, if you're following the will of God, if you're following the Lord, will be to His honor and to His glory in the end. Everything is a piece of that puzzle that's going to bring Him more honor and more glory. And the way you deal with things, the way you act, the way you react, the way we react to things and react in the middle of situations and circumstances determines how much glory He gets at that time and later in. I remember a preacher preaching, I can't remember his name, over at Liberty Baptist, and he was talking about this COVID thing, and he had delivered some groceries to a lady, and the lady, she come to her door, and she said, is everything all right out there? He said, ma'am? She goes, is everything all right? He goes, yeah, everything's all right. It's going to be all right. And he got to talk to her about the Lord and give her a tract. But she didn't have any hope. You know what happened with us? I knew that something smelled funny. We weren't getting the whole truth. We were being lied to, manipulated like we always are. Because the devil runs this place. He's the little g god of this world. In the back of my mind, all I thought was, you know what? We're saved. We're saved. And look, I'm not making a judgment on anybody. If you are older, you have health issues, you stayed in your house, you wore a mask, you whatever you decided to do, you prayed about it, praise God, you did what you... I said, look, you know, Lord, you called me to preach. You didn't call me to hide in my bed. Was I ever scared during that time? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. And I was scared of things. It wasn't just that lying scientists and all that stuff. It was, what are they going to do next? I don't believe that was an accident. I believe the devil was using people to mess with this world, like he always does. You say, well, that's silly. Well, yeah, it's silly now, but now they're talking about monkeypox. There's no end to this, worldly speaking. But there is an end to it. For saved folks, that's a good end. Amen? He's talking about the saved folks here, saying, all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to His purpose. Now, what's His purpose? To see Gateway Baptist Church build a new building and have 1,500 members. That's not His purpose. To see Gateway Baptist Church walking around with their thumbs on the lapel saying, look at me, look. That's not His purpose. His purpose is for us to please and glorify Him. Everything works together for good. Everything is going to please and glorify Him in the end, and we're part of that. If you're in God's will, you got to be a big part of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. According to His purpose. Saved. Look at 31. And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's the safety. The safety. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? If God is for us, hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? Think about this. We just talked about it. God is for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. You think the devil could outpray God? Who would he pray to? He'd pray to himself. You think the devil's stronger than God? You think he deserves more honor and glory than God? You think anybody could outpray God? God's on your side. We've got two ditches here we look at I'm not going to call it Christianity, I'll call it religion. We've got two ditches we look at in religion. We got a God that hates everybody, he's going to kill them unless you do everything right. We got a God over here that loves everybody, he's going to accept everything. And the truth is in the middle. The truth is, God says, you trust His Son, call on Him, you're going to heaven, trusting Him for salvation. And it says, you live a life to glorify Him after that, and He'll make you prosperous, spiritually prosperous. Over here in this, I don't know, both ditches probably, you got people saying, well, if God's pleased with you, He's going to give you all this stuff. Hey, my neighbors are Amish. They think that they're working hard so God will be pleased with them. God likes hard work. I'm not against that. He don't like slothful people. But you're not going to work your way to heaven. You can't work hard enough. You could do everything you thought was right. You could save everything you thought you could save. You could donate all your money to what you thought you were supposed to donate it to. You could treat everybody exactly by the golden rule. You could do everything that the world says to do. You could do everything that every lying preacher out there says to do that's not preaching the Bible, and you'd split hell wide open. Or you can say, look, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I know you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. Would you save me? And the devil says, oh, you can't do it that way. You can't do it that way. Well, that's the only way you can do it. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, the devil comes along and said, you're not going to die. You shall not surely die. And they had two trees in that garden that were really important. They could eat of any tree in that garden. They could freely eat of any tree in that garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the devil comes along and he offers, and he doesn't offer them the tree of life. He offers them a tree of death. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they could have took the tree of life. But they didn't. You know why people in Revelation 21, they're going to get to the great white throne of judgment, they're going to stand before God Almighty, and they're going to realize this guy they were making jokes about, this guy they were making fun of, this guy they were thumbing their nose at, this God that they used His name in vain, they use it as a cuss word in a sentence almost daily, or maybe many times a day, they're going to stand before that God, and He's going to open a book up, and He's going to say, this is what you've done, this is why you deserve hell, but this is why you're going, because you rejected my Son. And they'll be cast in a lake of fire forever. The devil can't do that to you and I. All he can do is try to get you to go his way and mess your life up in this world. If you're not following God, you're wasting your time. The safety we have, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Well, let's read 33, I'm sorry. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We see the satisfying. You know what was satisfying to God? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What satisfied God was His blood shed on Calvary. His Son coming out of that grave. His Son dying on that cross. His Son going to hell. His Son dropping off your sin. His Son coming back out of that grave. His Son being called on for salvation. That satisfies God right there. The arrogance of preachers and people that think that you can work your way to heaven after what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. The arrogance, the pride, the spiritual stupidity, and the bondage that they're putting people under. Oh, if you'll just do this, this, and this. And look, I got a letter from a guy that said, I got your postcard. I'm going to tell you, he took me back to the Old Testament, told me how you got to work to keep it. At least that's what he said. You got to work to keep it. Took me all over the Bible, showed me you got to work to keep it. I got no problem with working because I have it, but I do have a problem with working to keep it because God didn't say I had to keep it. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Thing is, he's trying to put me under bondage. Somebody has put him under bondage. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What Christ makes free is free indeed. Amen. You're free. Look, you're not free to sin and live like hell, live any old way you want to. I've heard people say that. Oh, you Baptists. Look, don't just call me a Baptist. I'm a Bible believer. I believe the book. I don't even know what that means anymore, to call somebody a Baptist. It means 50 million different things. But they, oh, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. You can go out and live like the devil. You believe you can go out and commit murder and just be fine. No, I don't believe that. I believe I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, but I believe when I break God's rules, He punishes me. Because I have a Bible, and it says, He whom He loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son. Every. So everybody that He loves, He chastens them. Because everybody that He loves does something wrong except His Son. Amen? So you wouldn't believe what I don't even care what you did. I don't want to hear it. I got my own list. I probably got a list with some of your stuff on it, amen? You probably got to list some of mine over my lifetime. God will take care of it. Amen? God will take care of it. Get on your knees, ask the Lord to forgive you. Get it behind you and go on down the road for Jesus Christ. But the satisfying, what satisfied God was not, it satisfies Him to hear His word preached right and straight. I believe that. It satisfies Him for us to be loving and Christ-like and go out and try to win people to Him and do it in His will for His honor and His glory. If we're doing it for the right heart, that satisfies Him. When we're talking about sin, the only thing that will satisfy Him is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And it was satisfying. That's how I'm getting to heaven. Because He took me out of my sin and put me in Christ, and now God the Father looks at me and sees His Son's righteousness. And He's satisfied. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He could not be satisfied with my righteousness. But He's satisfied with the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Suffering, the Savior, the Spirit, the saved, the safety, the satisfying. Praise God, I'm glad He's satisfied. The security. Look at 35 through 39 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, man, he says, there ain't nothing going to separate us. The security. Think about this. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. You know what a conqueror does? Every great nation, every great people that ever got together and had any type of history run down through here together, 200-300 years, whatever empire it might have been, you know what happened to them all? They all got conquered. And you know what happens after somebody conquers them? Somebody comes along and conquers it. We're more than conquerors. Ain't nobody going to come along and conquer us. We're adopted into the family of God. We are more than conquerors. You know, matter of fact, He has called us to be priests and kings. That's what the book says. I'm not saying that like some of the churches say, ooh, we're a king, and you know, I'm a god. I'm not saying that goofy stuff. I'm saying He has called us to be priests and kings. We don't go to a priest that's got his collar on backwards and bow down to him and have him try to forgive our sins. Jesus Christ is our high priest. If you're saved, you're a priest. You can go to God yourself. We're not in the Old Testament. Praise God. Security. I mean, we're in. We're in. I guarantee you one thing. My grandma preached her funeral in November of 2019, I think it was. Jerry Gard, November last year. Ain't neither one of them trade places with any of us. The best day you have here, there ain't neither one of them going to go, I wish I could go back there. Yeah. Not for a half a second. The best church service we have, and praise God, I hope we have good ones everywhere we go forever. But the best service you could have down here, they're up there having something much, but far better. Amen. And if you're saved, you're secure. I'm purchased. I'm bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm predestinated, but not like John Calvin. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm predestinated. What's the Bible say right there? According to foreknowledge, for whom He did foreknow, verse 29, He also did predestinate. I wasn't predestinated to get saved. I was predestinated after salvation to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. God didn't look down and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, to heaven for you and to hell you go. He didn't do that. He said, anybody that calls on My Son and trusts Him as Lord and Savior, they are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That gives me some hope, amen? I'm not always going to be this rascal that I fight all the time. One of these days I'm going to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And like I said, our job is supposed to be to try to live that way here by prayer and by reading that book. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I mean, you go down through this book and you see what that book testifies of itself about it being the answer to our problems. Amen. Oh, I just wish the Lord would come down and do some miracle. Well, open the Bible and read it. He'll do a miracle. He'll take a filthy old sinner and turn him into something worthwhile. Amen. It's like going, oh, we should go in the shower with no water or soap and get clean. Amen? The water is the Holy Spirit. Here's your soap. Amen? Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. Read your Bible. I know it's not, you know, what do they call it? Relevant to the world. It's not the end thing. It was a fad back in, for, you know, 400 years they read this, but, you know, it kind of went away. Now nobody wants to read it. Well, born-again believers, I've been reading it. Amen? I don't understand it. I don't understand it all either. But I do know one thing. He says, study thy shoe thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He tells us to study it. He tells us to read it. See, you want peace? You need peace in this world. You know what the book says? Great peace have they that love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. If you love the Word of God, you can go to church and you can step on each other's toes and get over it. Amen. If you don't love the Word of God, you're just going to tear each other apart. Bite and devour one another. And again, that's the reason there are 500 different churches in every town. People can't get along and they don't want the truth. But if you love the law of God, you'll have peace. And nothing will offend you. Amen. Let's just be brutally honest. Sometimes it's really hard to witness because we don't love God's law the way we should. Amen? Well, I was offended. Well, it's because you took it personal. The fact that you were offended, God takes personal. Amen? Read your Bible. I'm purchased with the blood of Christ. I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. I am persuaded. Look at verse 14. No, 38. Let's look at 38. No, let's look at 14 first. Let's go ahead and go there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul is persuaded. Look at verse 38. Jump over to 38. For I am persuaded. Paul was persuaded about some things. You know what folks used to ask you when they found out you went to church? Years ago, you know, they didn't ask you what denomination you were. They didn't ask you what, you know, what belief system you were. They asked you, of what persuasion are you? You ever heard that? I mean, you got to go back quite a few years now, but of what persuasion are you? I'm persuaded like Paul was, amen? You say, well, the Baptist, well, two-thirds of Baptists aren't persuaded anymore. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, you go down through the list, ain't nothing to separate me from the love of God. I'm also persuaded that I've been adopted into the family of God. No matter what happens, I'm still His child. You say, well, you just go live like the devil then. No, I don't. I don't want to do that. I want to please Him. You say, well, you're better than I am. No, I've got the Holy Spirit of God living in me, and it wants to do right. And if you've never been convicted about doing something wrong, you're lost. Amen. It's that simple. I want to please Him because it makes me happy. It gives me peace. It brings me comfort. When He sits inside of me saying, I like the way today's going. Amen? Unfortunately, for most of us, probably all of us, there aren't as many of those days as there should be. But I like it when those days are here. And I'm telling you, those last couple nursing home services we've had, I mean, if God got any thicker in that place, you wouldn't be able to move. It was just good. God's good. I'm purchased with the blood of Christ. I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm persuaded one of these days He's taking me to heaven. I'm protected. I'm protected. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know who I need more protection from than anybody? I need more protection from me than anybody. Because if I decide I'm not going to pray and read my Bible the way I should, or if I quit going to church, I guess, I don't know what y'all do. Brother Scott, somebody's going to have to fill this pulpit. But if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to be in trouble. And you're no different than I am. But I'm protected. Eternally, I'm protected. But when I'm in God's will, I'm protected. You see, if you read the Bible, He didn't calm and stop every storm. He brought them through some of them. He calmed some, stopped some, and brought folks through some. We're looking at a man that wrote Romans here, Paul, that went through more storms than anybody besides Jesus Christ, probably. Storm after storm after storm after storm. When we're reading this, verse, and he's saying, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, it's because he's living that life. Nay, in all these things, he goes down through this list of things. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Those are all things Paul had been threatened with and gone through. You know what happened to most of the apostles? They got their heads chopped off. God didn't stop the storms, He just brought them through them. Amen? I like it when God stops the storm. But He knows best, and if He doesn't, I like the fact that He's bringing us through them. Amen? We serve an amazing God. Leaning on the everlasting arms. So that's all I got. That's all you need. That's all you need. It's for the Lord to wrap His arms around you and take you through the storm. and to be in church with other people that love the Lord. Amen? So, well, I know a church that's got 375 or 5,000 people or whatever. Praise the Lord. If that's where God wants you, that's where you ought to be. But if He wants you here, be here. Amen? Because this is where we're supposed to be. To be a blessing to each other. It's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I'm going to find a church and go, go, go. It's pray and find out where God wants you. That's what people don't do anymore. They go for programs. I've had people call me up and say, I just want to know what you have for our kids. I tell them we've got the Bible and we've got people that love the Lord. And we'll do the best we can to teach your kids the Bible. Okay, thank you. Okay. They want to know we've got teen camp, we've got this camp, we've got the other camp, they've got this camp. The same people never ask about the Bible. They don't care about that. They want to know if we're going to babysit their kids sometimes. Amen. And I praise the Lord. I like VBS. I hope that all the parents want to dump their kids here on VBS day and say, hey, I want a break. Take my kid. Praise the Lord. We're going to tell them about Jesus Christ and send the Bible home with them. But it's not about programs. It's about being in the will of God. And I believe we're in it. The security, purchased, predestinated, persuaded, and protected. Didn't get any better than that. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you for the folks that made it in this morning. Thank you for the folks teaching downstairs and in Sunday school and church service. Thank you for the kids that show up. Lord, that You'd bless the VBS if you allow us to have it. You'd bless it and breathe on it and send kids in and help us to do our best to glorify you and show those little kids what your word says about getting to heaven. And Lord, again, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for who you are. Help us through these storms of life. And we'll praise you all the way. In Jesus' name, amen.